I'd like to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Book of Mark, chapter 4, we'll read verses 35 through verse 41. And the same day, when the even was come, he, that would be Jesus, saith unto them, the apostles, "Let us pass over unto the other side." When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is Mark's account of the apostles caught in a fierce storm. Matthew also gives account of this, as does Luke. As we all know, each of the gospel writers give record of a variety of miracles of Christ. I believe there's 37 recorded in the Gospels, and we know from John 20, verse 30, and John 21, 25, that these are just a very, very small portion of the miracles of Christ. Were all the miracles recorded, there wouldn't be enough books in the world, we're told, there in John 20 and 21. But those miracles that are recorded to verify and to confirm both the mission and the person of Jesus Christ. Also, they are recorded to strengthen our faith, to portray the needs of man, and to portray the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. All the miracles that are recorded are full of instruction, more than you and I can possibly draw from. Full of guidance, full of encouragement. Now this particular miracle before us is one of Christ's miracles over nature. It takes place on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had been ministering in Capernaum, which was at the northern edge of the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, of course, isn't really a sea. It's a freshwater lake. Today, it is known as Lake Kinneret. It's the lowest freshwater lake on earth, 682 feet below sea level. It is approximately 13 miles long and 8 miles wide, surrounded by mountains. The mountains on the west and the northwest would rise to about 1,500 feet. To the northeast and to the east, they rise to about 3,000 feet. And they go to the Golan Heights, which runs 42 miles in length, so much longer, much larger than the Sea of Galilee. So these mountains go far, far past the Sea of Galilee. Leading up to our text, Jesus had performed many miracles, and at this time, because of that, multitudes were following him. He had spent the day again in Capernaum at the edge of the sea. We see that in Mark chapter 4 and verse 1. And we see that such a large crowd had gathered unto him that he gets into a boat in the sea to put some distance between him and those on the land. And then he sat down and he taught the people, and he taught the parable of the sower, and he taught them all day until it was evening. After some time, again, verse 25, the evening, or verse 35, the evening began to approach. He says to the apostles, "Let us go," or "let us pass over unto the other side." And they begin their voyage across the Sea of Galilee. And our text records what took place on that particular voyage. And we want to take the main thought of the message from something that we read in verse 38. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship," and this is what we want to notice, "asleep on a pillow." Asleep on a pillow. That paints a picture. Mark could have wrote, "Jesus was asleep." In fact, Matthew, in Matthew 8, verse 24, that's what he says. He was asleep. Luke says, in Luke 8, verse 23, he fell asleep. But Mark records that he was asleep on a pillow. He's asleep on a pillow. That's unusual language. You and I, you see someone sleeping, you'll say they are asleep. You don't say they're asleep on a pillow. But obviously this struck Mark. He was asleep on a pillow. I believe that's a picture of a very peaceful sleep. Jesus was asleep on a pillow. He not only took notice of the fact that he was asleep on a pillow, he emphasized it. Jesus pillowing his head. And I believe this had a very powerful effect upon Mark. Jesus asleep on a pillow. I believe it was something that astounded Mark. Again, Mark is the only one who writes that Jesus was asleep on a pillow. He is also the only one who records the precise location where Jesus slept on a pillow. He was in the hinder part of the ship, the stern, the roughest part of the ship during a storm. And he was asleep on a pillow. And Mark is taken by this. He's amazed by this. We see this is a picture of peace. Jesus asleep on a pillow. Not just any peace, but the peace of Jesus. And it's a peace that he gives. John 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." So it's a picture of peace. And I believe it's a picture of the peace of Jesus. Therefore, it's a picture of the very peace that he gives his people. And that is illustrated in our text, this peace. And it's illustrated in Mark chapter 5. This peace. So I want to speak this morning, Jesus asleep on a pillow. And we want to see it as a picture of the peace that he gives. First of all, consider the scene of this entire record. The voyage starts out with a calm. Luke says in Luke 8, in verse 23, "as they sailed." Now the very idea of sailing is peace. There's a calm. There's a calm. They weren't rowing. They were sailing. indicative of very favorable conditions. The water was calm. They're sailing along. An ideal situation. And Luke also tells us that it was at this time, as they're sailing along, everything's calm, that Jesus fell asleep. So it's very important. There's another message here. The calm before the storm leads to the calm during the storm. I'm here to tell you, if you're not calm before the storm, I don't know what you're thinking, that you think that you're going to be calm during the storm. Jesus was calm before the storm, and this carried over into the storm. In verse 37 of our text, "And there arose a great storm." Luke says, Luke chapter 8, verse 23, "And there came down a storm." So a change has taken place. They're sailing along. There's a calm. And now, all of a sudden, there's a storm. A great change has taken place. And there's Jesus in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. In the midst of all the change, he is asleep on a pillow. The storm is then described. It is referred to as a great storm, a mega storm, something extraordinary, something very significant and extensive. Matthew refers to it in Matthew 8:24 as a great tempest in the sea. That is, it was like a cyclone, it was like a hurricane, a tornado, a whirlwind. Luke says in Luke 8, verse 23, there came down a storm, suggesting that it was sudden. So here they are, caught in cyclone winds. This has come upon them suddenly. And Jesus is in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. In verse 37 again, the storm is described as a great storm of wind. Luke refers to it as a storm of wind. The wind seems to be blowing from all directions. And of course, it's tossing their ship. And there's Jesus in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. As a result of the winds, there were waves. We read in verse 37 of our text again, the waves beat into the ship. It's not just the waves beat against the ship. The waves beat into the ship. And Matthew says in Matthew 8, verse 24, the ship was covered with the waves. And Luke says in Luke chapter 8, the raging of the water. So the boat was being violently tossed about. The wind and the enormous waves are pounding that boat, crashing over the apostles. And there's Jesus in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Now, as a result of the waves, we read again in verse 37 of our text, the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. They're in great danger. The ship is filling with water. Luke says in Luke 8, verse 23, they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. That is, they were in great danger. So the waves are crashing and overflowing that ship, so much so that the ship is taking in water, and Jesus is in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Now Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record the sentiment of the apostles. In those words, we perish. They each record those words. That was the sentiment of everyone on board that ship with the exception of Jesus. We perish. What was going on in that ship, these individuals, no doubt, were struggling for their life. And there appears to be no way to survive. Death seems to be inevitable. And Jesus is in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. A picture of peace. So the winds are roaring. The boat is being tossed. The apostles are soaking wet. Clothes are clinging to them. Absolute pandemonium on the ship. Fear, terror, helplessness, and what appears to be inevitable death. And there is Jesus in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Aboard that ship was great alarm. There was panic everywhere. There was agitation. There was distress. There was anxiety. You can hear the apostles on that ship shouting out instructions to one another. And there's panic in their voice. There's a great unsettledness about the whole situation. They're frantic. They're distraught. They're a tizzy. They're all worked up. And there's Jesus in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. To those aboard that ship, there was no human solution to their situation. These are experienced men, but there was no human solution to their situation. Notice verse 38. They awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Matthew says, they awoke him saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And Luke says they came to him and woke him saying, Master, Master, we perish. So there they are in this life-threatening storm. And they ask that question, Carest thou not that we perish? Lord, don't you care what we're going through? So they're questioning and doubting the very care of Christ, which, may I say, only added to the agony and torment of their storm. If you're in a storm, a spiritual storm, and you begin to question and doubt the Lord's care, you have added to the agony and the torment of your storm. So they were adding to. They were making their situation even worse. We're good at that. But notice there's peace. Again, Jesus asleep on a pillow. A picture of calm. A picture of tranquility and peace. Absolute bedlam, commotion, confusion on board that ship. And there he is, asleep on a pillow. Again, a picture of calm, tranquility, and peace. Jesus sleeping peacefully in the midst of all the chaos. This is really an amazing picture. Jesus in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. You see that part of the picture, but then you see the other part. All the pandemonium that's going on. But there he is asleep on a pillow. It's a state of inward rest. It's a state of fearlessness. It's a state that all is well. All is well. It is a state of contentment. It is a state of confidence and assurance that all is well. Keep in mind who's asleep on that pillow. He knew what was going on. He knew that storm was taking place. This isn't someone who just sleeps through something unaware. He knew exactly what was going on. It's a state of inward calm. In the midst of all the turmoil, in the midst of all the stress, in the midst of all the upheaval, there is Jesus asleep on a pillow. What a wonderful, wonderful picture. The polar opposite of everything that was going on in that boat that night. Now this peace is illustrated in our text, and I believe it's illustrated as you get over into Mark chapter 5. We read in verse 39 of our text, and he arose. They come, they awake him, and he arose. Aren't you glad it doesn't say he cowered in his pillow? It's not what it says. He arose. So there's Jesus, God in the flesh, the creator, the sustainer of the universe, the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega, the Lord and ruler of all, the immortal one, the immutable one, the infinite one, the omniscient one, the all-sufficient one. And what's he doing now? He's standing. And he's standing in the storm. He arose. He's standing in the midst of all the commotion and all the panic. The winds are blowing. The waves are still crashing into the boat. But those storm-risen waters that were bringing such havoc and disruption upon the apostles have no effect upon Jesus. There he stands. I don't believe he's trying to get his balance. I don't believe he's fighting the wind. There he stands. The waves are crashing into the boat. And there he stands. Unmoved. Unbothered. That's the peace of Jesus. He's unmoved. He's unbothered by the wind and the waves. That's a picture of the peace that Jesus gives. And then he goes on to say that he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace or hush. He stands there in the midst of the storm and he says, hush, shh, be still. And everything stops. The wind stops blowing. The sea evens out. There's quiet. We read, and the wind ceased. The result, it says, and there was a great. That is, again, a mega, extraordinary calm. There was a great calm. I believe that also pictures this peace that Jesus gives. There was a great calm. There was a great tranquility. There was quietness. It is what Jesus had. What just transpired is what Jesus had when he's in that hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. They would then arrive safely in Gadara. We read that in chapter 5 and verse 1. And there in Gadara, they would be met by a man who was possessed. Not just with one demon or two, but a legion of demons. Demons, of course, are spiritually and morally unclean, filled with evil, filled with ungodliness, filled with hate and malice toward God, filled with rebellion against God and opposition against God. And this man had a legion of these demons. Here is a picture of a troubled soul. Very similar to the storm-tossed waters. This man was very, very unsettled. He was very, very restless. We read in verse 5, always, night and day. That's all day long, by the way. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, the caves, crying. This man was filled with weariness, filled with distress. Always, night and day. The next day would be no different, and the next day would be no different. All the weariness and the distress of this man. He was also engulfed with sorrow. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying. And the word crying there refers to a loud scream, a shriek, a blood-curdling scream. And these cries went on continually throughout the night and throughout the day. It's a picture of despair. It's a picture of misery and anguish and hopelessness that filled this man's soul. He was very irrational. Verse 5 says, always night and day he was in the mountains and tombs crying and cutting himself. And cutting himself with stones. Night and day, gashing and hacking himself. Here's a very self-destructive individual. He was also an individual filled with anger. We read in Matthew 8, verse 28, he was exceeding or more than fierce. He wasn't just fierce, he was exceeding fierce. He was something more than fierce. We also know that this man was degenerate. Luke 8 verse 27 says he wore no clothes. He was uncontrollable. Mark chapter 5 verse 3 and 4, no man could bind him. No, not with chains. Because he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. And the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Nobody could fix him. You could send this man to the best doctors of the day. No man could fix him. You could think and think and think, how can we calm this man down? Nobody could calm him down. But Jesus arrives in Gadara. And he rescues this man from his enslavement, from his misery and despair. You picture this man, and you see broken chains are hanging from his wrists. Very similar picture to many today. Not literal chains. The clanging of the chains could be heard as he dragged them along. He wore no clothes. His naked body was covered with scars and bleeding sores from cutting himself with stones. No doubt there's dry blood in his arms, his legs, hands. I don't picture this man. His hair is neatly combed. His hair is matted together with dirt and blood. Here's a man under the control of sin and Satan. If you look around today, you see this man walking everywhere. His mind has been affected by sin and Satan. If you were to look into this man's eyes, again, he has a legion of demons. I believe you would see wild terror in his eyes. He's externally and internally unclean. You look at this man and you see what sin and Satan can do to people. And again, you and I don't have to go far. You don't have to go far to see this man. You don't have to take a trip to Gadara. You just have to take a trip out that door. And this man's everywhere. He's everywhere. Maybe in our own family, but he's everywhere. Perhaps there's someone here that's described by this man. But coming to verse 15, we see what, before you get to verse 15, you see what sin and Satan can do. But then you come to verse 15, you see what Jesus can do. Notice what it says. And they came to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion. And what's he doing? Is he still in the cave, screaming, crying, cutting himself? No, he's sitting. If you look in his eyes now, it's completely different. Everything about him is different. He's sitting, he's clothed, and he's in his right mind. And this scared them, and they were afraid. Now, isn't that amazing? They were more afraid of this man that had been fixed than they were the maniac up in the wood, up in the mountains, crying. That's still true today. You can be completely out of your mind, controlled by sin and Satan. The Lord saves your soul, fixes you. That will scare your relatives more than what you were before. That's the truth. And then we see Jesus, when he released the demons, they went into the hogs. The hogs ran violently down the hill and were drowned. The people thought more of the pigs than they did Jesus. And they told Jesus, you get out of here. No different today. People think more highly of the hogs than they do Jesus Christ. But my point is this. Look at this man. See what Jesus can do. As you see him sitting there, he has the peace of God that passeth understanding. He has the peace that we see in Mark chapter 4. Jesus asleep on a pillow. As you go on, Jesus would cross back over the Sea of Galilee. They would go back. And there met him a ruler of the synagogue named Jairus. His soul is weighted down with the fact that his 12-year-old daughter is so sick that she's dying. And we see him pleading with Jesus. There in Mark chapter 5, verse 23, my little daughter. And those three words will break your heart, my little daughter. My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and shall live. Jairus didn't have peace at this moment. Here's a father who is distressed. Well, they head to the house of Jairus. But the whole procession is interrupted by a woman who for 12 years had a flow of blood. that had drained away all of her finances. And for 12 years, she was continually getting worse. As you look at her, she's very weak, very frail, much anguish of soul. Her life is one of emptiness. Her life is one of hopelessness. As you read the account, she came and she touched Jesus Christ. And in verse 29, and immediately, she was made whole. Straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And all the peace that came upon her. The peace that passeth understanding came upon her. The very peace of Jesus, Jesus asleep on a pillow, came upon her. We come back to Jairus. Word comes from the house. Verse 35, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest the master any further? Now you can imagine at that moment, Jairus, the spirit of Jairus, sank. But verse 36, Jesus said, be not afraid. Jesus obviously saw that Jairus was afraid. He says, be not afraid. Only believe. They would eventually arrive at the house of Jairus. As you read the account, Jesus takes Jairus and his wife into the room where their daughter lie. And he spoke there in verse 41, I say unto thee, arise. And we read in verse 42, and straightway the damsel arose and walked. And at that moment, the peace of God which passeth understanding filled that house. And that very moment, they had the very same peace that of Jesus. There was a great calm. They had the very same peace that we see in Jesus asleep on a pillow. Flowing out of Jesus Christ is a peace, a rest, an assurance, a calm, a relief that is greater than any storm, greater than any upheaval in your life, greater than any trouble, greater than any threat, greater than any fear that you and I might have, greater than any agitation, greater than any anxiety, disturbance, or unsettledness. So again, we go back to the beginning of the message. Jesus in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. What a wonderful, wonderful picture. And then we hear Jesus say in John 14 and 27, peace I leave with you. What kind of peace? My peace. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Jesus Christ can give you a peace that you can lay down and fall asleep on your pillow and stay there throughout the storm. And here's what will happen. When Jesus gives you that peace, people all around you will begin to think he doesn't care. Because if he cared, he'd be acting just as nuts as I am. Isn't that what the apostle said? Master, carest thou not that we perish? I mean, they couldn't stand it. That he was asleep on a pillow. And you want to disturb someone? You be at peace during a storm. They can't handle it. Well, don't you care? That has nothing to do with it. Jesus asleep on a pillow. And since it's His peace and He gives us His peace, that I can have that same kind of peace. I'll be honest with you. There have been many, many, many nights in my life when I pick the pillow up, turn it this way, this way, this way. Can't sleep at all. Something's on the mind. And then there's been times where you just fall asleep on the pillow. And the second is much more pleasant. I haven't fixed a thing with all my tossing and turning. Not one thing. I wake up the next morning or get up the next morning, things are still the same. But oh, there's a peace that only He can give. And I ask you today, do you have that peace? You say, well, everything's calm right now. Well, that's a good time to have that peace. You have it when it's calm, it'll carry over in the storm. I mean, if you don't have it in the calm, you're not going to have it in the storm. So I ask you, do you have that peace? And if you're here and lost, you're guilty before God. You're at enmity with God. In your current state. But there is such a thing as peace with God. And only Jesus can give that as well. Peace with God. The only way you and I will enjoy the peace of God is to have peace with God. So just picture that in your mind. Jesus in the hinder part of the ship, asleep. Asleep on a pillow. We can have that very same peace. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry will lead us in singing.